Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Limited half-year results FY 2017. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Any media representatives wishing to ask a question are requested to do so via the usual media contact. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, 17th of February, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Paul Flynn, Managing Director and CEO of Whitehaven Coal Limited. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody, and welcome to Whitehaven Coal's 2017 half-year results presentation. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate you dialing into our webcast. As usual, I'll take about 20-30 minutes just to go through our presentation, and then we'll open up for questions and answers. As usual, I'm joined by a couple of members of our executive team here: Jamie Frankham, our EGM of Operations, and Kevin Ball, our CFO, and we're also joined by Ian McAleese, our GM of Investor Relations. The first 6 months for the year has been very solid, quite pleasing, but it was a tale of two quarters in some ways. The first quarter, as you know, we did experience quite a wet period for that first quarter, and in the second quarter, certainly better in weather, but obviously with a little bit less output from Narrabri, as we've announced in the past quarter's production report. But in aggregation, the two quarters combined gives us a very solid start to this year. To counter the weather, our plans are in place to recover that lost production from the weather-related period. And for those who watch Whitehaven closely, you'll know that we've typically had a bigger second half than we have in the first, and as a result, this year will be no different to that. In fact, it might be a little bit more magnified, that effect, as those recovery plans take hold in the second half. Of course, the backdrop of supply-demand equilibrium in the seaborne trade for coal sees pricing better, and as a result, our financial outcomes have benefited considerably. I'll draw out a few highlights if I can. There's been many during the 6 months, but it's pleasing to say our operational performance has been good, but it's also been coupled with improving safety. Now, I'll go into that a little bit later, but it's nice to see the rate of improvement of our safety performance returning to where it's been over previous years. As I mentioned, that backdrop of better pricing has certainly brought about an EBITDA outcome some 200% or three times better than what it was last year at this corresponding period. That's flowed through to our NPAT line with 157 million dollars for the 6 months, nearly eight times what our full-year result was for last year. But coupled with that, there's obviously been very positive cost control exhibited, and at $56 Aussie for the 6 months, that's certainly a very good outcome, despite the fact that we have been washing more coal for the semi-soft market. And as a result, our net debt has reduced to $628 million, some $231 million in the six-month period, and gearing's now a modest 17%. So over to safety. You recall our discussion last year, we were disappointed that it improved so much year on year. That rate of improvement slowed down last year, albeit still better year on year. But it's nice to see that we have resumed a better rate of progress, and this year has certainly started in good form. It's been an excellent achievement. We have had several sites go 3 years now without any LTIs at all, which has been fantastic. But our TRIFR rate of 7.2 is actually the lowest rate we've recorded, which is very pleasing. Now, this is, as everyone knows, a long game in terms of how we manage safety. So the stats are good, but anyone getting injured is obviously unacceptable to us. So we'll continue to push this and carry this momentum into the second half of the year. We want all our people to stay safe at all times. Turning over to the financial highlights, well, this slide certainly become more interesting over the last 12 months. Last year, recall, we recorded approximately $8 million at the NPAT line for the first half, and this year at nearly 158 is a substantial improvement. As I say, that supply-demand relationship is much improved, and you can certainly see the results. EBITDA at nearly $325 million is a substantial improvement over last year. I'm over on capital allocation, and the capital allocation and discipline that you've expected from us in the past has continued, and so that is looking very good. Our focus has changed a little bit at Narrabri. We've taken a pause on mains development as we've been focusing on the 400-metre wide project. We are on schedule and on budget, and this will deliver a port improvement which we'll begin to see the benefits of in the last quarter of this year, with production commencing on the 400-metre face in early April. Now, the second half capex will probably look pretty much like last year, so we have shown you the half-on-half split for last year. So it will be weighted a little bit further towards the second half as the Narrabri project comes to a close. And we are building the permanent workshops at Maules Creek at the moment ahead of significant maintenance being required for the first of the Maules Creek fleets. I'm over to coal sales through operations now. So I won't speak too much about this because you've seen these numbers obviously already through the quarterly reports. But pleasing to see that obviously period on period we're 7% up, and obviously that's assisted by Maules Creek's continued ramp up and a solid performance out of Narrabri. We are selling into the high value Asian markets, and that drive has continued to push, although we are diversifying also the customers that we are selling to. Japan continues to be our most important market from a thermal coal perspective, but we are seeing changing buying habits from our customers as they buy less high ash material and are preferring to buy more low ash material as they roll out the heli technology in their power stations. As you can see, our metallurgical coal products have been growing in size and proportion, and also diversifying our customer base. This is now a much better balanced portfolio than what we had of customers in the past. And as good as Japan has been, it's been very pleasing to see both Korea and also, surprisingly, China, very agile in incorporating Maules Creek semi-soft into their coke blends. With more tonnes being produced at Narrabri and Maules Creek, importantly, our low CV business is obviously diminishing in proportion, but in absolute size as well, only representing about 8% of our coal sales for the half. ROM production, again, these numbers you've seen already, so up at 8.2 million tonnes for the half versus 7.1, up 16%. And then over to Maules Creek, clearly the ramp-up is going very nicely. It's really starting to hit its straps and make its presence felt across our portfolio. All the equipment is now on site and commissioned and running well to deliver the 10.5 million tonne per annum run rate that we're looking for. So we'll see that operate for the balance of this 6 months. And we expect to hit our guidance between the 9.5 million tonnes and 9.8 million tonnes of ROM for the full year. But the story about Maules Creek has certainly been not just the volume, but the product mix change. And for the first half, we saw met coal production about 1.2 million tonnes, about 25% of production. And in the second half, we expect that to grow to about 1.7 million tonnes, some 35% of production as we head into this half. That's been a great result, but certainly the quality has been the key thing that customers have been greeting well as we've been rolling out a deeper penetration into the met coal market. As far as thermal goes, you can see that plateauing out a little bit in terms of that chart. I think what that says really is that we are probably at the point of where we want to be thermal coal-wise for the moment. So I'm back on page 17 at Maules Creek, and look, the key for Maules Creek during this period is obviously continued growth in our ramp-up despite the weather experience in the first quarter. You're going to see the full momentum of the 10.5 million tonne run rate in the second half, and we're certainly confident we can deliver our 9.5 to 9.8 million tonnes of ROM guidance for the full year. The mix is changing rapidly at Maules Creek, and that's the positive thing about this market environment at the moment. As you can see from the chart, the thermal coal has plateaued out, and we'd like to keep it around that level, and because most of the incremental sales effectively are going into the semi-soft market, that's very positive. So I think we'll try and keep the thermal coal ton contracts short and allow ourselves the optionality of driving harder into the semi market. I'm on to Narrabri. Narrabri's had a solid performance, as you know, but our focus really is all about making sure that we move quickly and seamlessly into panel 7, being the first of our 400-metre face panels. All our duplicate gear is already installed. We've got about a couple of weeks left of production in panel 6, and then we'll be into change-out mode, resuming production in early April. The Gunnedah Ops, as you saw the production report,
No new news there. They've had a good time in terms of the year, but pleasingly, the trucking restrictions that we mentioned in our quarterly report have now been dealt with. We have received an approval to run harder at 4 million tonnes for this calendar year, just so we can recover some of the ground that we lost with the weather in the first quarter. I'm on to Vickery now, and good progress at Vickery during the period, which is fabulous. I think everybody understands the key attributes of Vickery, but the key changes to Vickery I'll just call out just for the purposes of this discussion. The key changes to this enlarged version is not just 10 million tonnes per annum run rate versus the 4.5 that is already approved, but we're all talking about on-site processing, so there's going to be a large-scale coal handling and preparation plant on-site, a rail connection to eliminate road haulage out of our business. Ultra-class equipment would go into Vickery, and the coal handling capacity and washing capacity of the site would be sufficient to cater also for our Tarrawonga project. So those are the key changes that we're looking to deploy there. And the lodgement of the large EIS by 30 June. We have provided a slide there which talks about indicative timetables, and they are indicative, but the purpose of doing that is to give people an understanding of the time we estimate for each of the pieces of that project to be delivered, be that the regulatory time for approval, both federal and state, being construction time and so on. So that's an indicative timetable for people to view. I'm over on page 24, and clearly our work with the community is a constant effort and is yielding very good results. Certainly the feedback from the community has been very strong. I think we now are a more accessible and visible component of the community as we continue to soak up the available people in the area who want to come and work for us as our employment workforce grows. A sign of that maturity, I think, really is just the open days that we held in the last 6 months, where we're able to open up the site to the community at large, and we had some 700 people come through there, which was very, very successful. The feedback from that was great, and it gives people, importantly, some context into what responsible mining practices look like. And I have to say, uniformly, having been there myself, the feedback that people gave us, having come to the site, learned about what we're doing, was tremendous. Out to our outlook on coal usage, and I'm over on page 27 for those following the slides. Look, it's a positive sign for coal, I think, going forward, and you saw the recently released medium-term coal market report of 2016 from the IEA come out, certainly affirming the continued growth of coal in Asia. And they call out essentially about another 280 million tonnes of annual production that's required in order to get to 2021, which is going to be very positive for all the producers in this region leveraged to that market. And I thought we'd throw in some more slides here just in terms of what's driving that growth. And the growth is obviously the deployment of heli technology with new power stations being built to satisfy incremental demand, but also to replace aging power stations across our region. So Japan, obviously at the top there, has the best in terms of average thermal efficiency, and you can see the rankings that they go down. So we just highlighted notable coal-consuming and coal-producing markets for you just to draw out the comparison. Germany was a really interesting one, given that they really are the poster economy for renewables more generally, have been deploying their own heli technology quite steadily, in fact, and the last power station they brought online was only in 2012. In fact, fueled by their own domestic lignite and imports of black coal out of Poland and Russia predominantly. So also, they're the biggest producer and the biggest consumer of coal in the EU, but they are using black coal and their own lignite, coupled with heli technology, to provide the base load backup for their push into renewables. And I think that's very important for everyone to know. Obviously, China and India are improving fast, and that increase will continue to improve as they further deploy heli technology in their coal-fired generation fleet. Again, the reasons why they're doing that, I'm over on page 29, is because of the step down in emissions that you can achieve by using heli technology with black coal versus subcritical and lignite. And it really just serves the demonstration of the difference that you can achieve by, say, the left-hand bar, which is essentially the Victorian market, to use a more pointed example, Hazelwood, Yulon, Loy Yang, subcritical with brown coal versus Isogo, say, for instance, over on the far right, ultra-supercritical with black coal out of Australia. Substantial emissions reductions and pleasing to see that we do have a political discussion now, which is, finally recognising the benefits that coal can bring from an emissions reduction perspective. Again, there are further examples where, and this is an interesting one in China, where heli technology is being rolled out with poorer quality coals and still achieving significant emissions reduction outcomes. And I think that's very positive. When you look at the proportion, the differential between our Yallourn power stations we've highlighted there in Australia versus, I'll get the name wrong, but the Waigao Cow, I'm told the pronunciation is, significant emissions reductions are capable, even if you use lower quality coals. It's just obviously the step down in emissions is greater when you use high quality black coal. So over to our thermal coal market. The outlook for thermal coal looks really good. I think there's more discussion in the last day or so about further supply side reform being reinitiated after the winter pause in China, and we certainly welcome the news of that. But I think if you look at the long term again, as these IEA reports are signalling, not just the medium term outlook report, but also the view, the last published report out to 2040, there are significant increases in coal consumption required. And the markets in which we're operating are the ones which are exhibiting the highest rate of growth of coal consumption, and a very positive outlook for Whitehaven. Over on 33, our production growth, as you know, the rate of growth has slowed somewhat until we see Vickery come online. But Maules Creek is going from strength to strength. The Narrabri base widening project, obviously coming online in our final quarter, is an important focus. And Vickery will add an important step change on top of that again. But our guidance for the year at 21 to 22 million tonnes of saleable coal production, we're reaffirming today. I think it's important to acknowledge that embedded in our business there are continuing growth opportunities which we are working on. Maules Creek stepping up from 13, as it's currently approved, to say 15 to 16 million tonnes per annum. The integration of Narrabri South into the southern panels of our existing mining lease would be a huge opportunity for us also. And then, of course, increasing the footprint with contiguous areas to Narrabri would certainly be another beneficial extension of the life of the project. The option of an autonomous fleet at Maules Creek is something we are actively investigating, and we think Maules is very prospective for that. And, in fact, we probably think over the time deploying that from the outset at Vickery is a likely outcome also. So our targets for the remainder of this year is really to bring home the results. Obviously, we've got off to a good start to the first half. The second half will be bigger, and we're very focused on delivering those outcomes. We will deliver on our guidance and commission Narrabri in the 400-metre face on time and budget. Maules will run at least at 10.5 for the second half of the year, which will be good to see. And we will lodge our enlarged Vickery EIS by 30 June. Financially, cost and capex control will continue to be a focus for us, as you've seen. No reason to not continue that discipline now that it's embedded in the business. And with better pricing, we'll see volumetrically and I think outcome-wise financially a better second half than you've seen in the first. So I think we're in decent shape. Our challenge is to capitalise on this good start that we've had in the year. So thank you all for your patience during the technical difficulties. But I'll now hand over to the operator to open up the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for audio participants who wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0.
The balance sheet, like, can you just talk a little bit about, debt's obviously reducing quite rapidly and expected to continue this year. Where do you want to get the balance sheet to before you start to look at stepping up payout ratio and other options? Like, what is the target and also what does the dividend payout ratio sort of look like when the balance sheet's where you want it to be? The comment on the costs in the second half increasing, is that purely the sort of the accelerated ramp up of the semi-soft from Maules Creek, or are there other factors at play there? And just the other side in terms of the met coal market, and what are the sort of comments you could make in terms of how sort of semi-soft acceptor pricing is looking given the collapse we've seen, I suppose, in coking coal prices down to that 160. What are you seeing in the market in terms of what the customers are looking for?
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Clark. And three good questions there, and I'll answer them all because, by the way, the technology is working here. That might be the first and last three questions we get. But the balance sheet improvement has been, you know, substantial, so we're very pleased with that. Where do we want to land? Certainly, we want to see the benefit of this next 6 months to get debt down. I mean, we don't think it's high, obviously, currently as it is, and we always had said it was manageable. Obviously, the rate of paying that down has accelerated substantially. I think even of today, I think our net debt's probably slightly below 500, I think, if you mark these things to market. But, you know, be that as it may, that's a good result. We want to continue to pay that down. I would say take another 200 off that for sure in the second half from where we are now. And that would be down to a level which we would believe would be more akin to an enduring level of debt in our capital structure. The board is very focused on this, as you can imagine it is, because things are changing very quickly, and they're very keen to look at all capital management initiatives as you know, the business normalizes, if I can say that, because obviously the rate of production growth was going to slow a little bit before Vickery comes on. Dividends, I know people have been asking about that in this year. Look, as a general statement, I think it's a better question to answer in the new financial year. The board is very keen to see us repay further debt in the short term. So we'll leave that discussion, I think, until after we've rounded out, you know, what's the next four months of production. Costs in the second half, two limbs to the answer to that question. The washing is clearly one component of it. And so we did guide everyone at the beginning of the year that we were going to wash more, and certainly we're doing that. We're trying to control the costs and bring in savings in other areas to make sure we achieve the flat outcome that we guided. The only thing I would say, which might see us drift up slightly, is essentially the recovery plans for the weather that we experienced in the first quarter. We are putting on a little bit more equipment just to try and recover that ground there, and these are just short-term initiatives. We're not embedding cost in the business by doing this, but we do want to make some hay while the pricing is positive. So we have these plans in place. They are costing us a little bit incrementally from where we were in the past, but it is, as I say, a short-term thing just to make sure we fill the production gap that was created by that weather in the first half, and obviously the glitch at Narrabri in the second quarter. So they're the two components of cost.
Just on that, in terms of the quantification of that, like how material a price increase sort of second half versus the first half?
No more than a buck or two, I think, is the simple answer to that, Clark.
Great, thanks.
In the second half. Met-wise, what are we seeing? And we're seeing a market somewhat subdued, I suppose, just because of timing at the moment, just because of people coming back out of the Chinese New Year period. Things have been a little bit quiet in that regard, but Met performance for us has been very solid. Quality feedback we're getting from all of our customers has been very strong on our semi-soft. The coking properties in particular have been a point of differentiation that from what people understood Maules Creek to represent the past versus what we're delivering. So that bodes well for more term business on semi-soft. We did do a sizable term contract already in semi-soft, and we look like we'll probably sign a few more in the next month or so in Japan. So that's very positive. At these prices, clearly there's a big divergence between the last quarterly settlement and the spot market on semi. That tells us, when that's happened in the past, that tells us that the next settlement takes some time to conclude, and I suspect that'll be the case. In the meantime, you know, you can sell your semi at the spot market, and from our perspective, because the cost of producing the semi is so marginal for us, you know, the margin outcomes are still very substantial for us. I think it's probably, in today's dollar terms, it's still $60, $70 in that range. Cash margin on semi-tons at the moment.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor.
You improving, so kudos. Three questions, one on cost, one on price realization, and one on Vickery. On cost, just further from Clark's comment and looking into FY18, how should I think about your cost base when you've got the Longwall 7 at Narrabri up and running and the economies of scale at Maules Creek? Does that 56 head back lower, or is 56 about the right number?
Peter, are you going to tell me what the other two questions are? You want
yep.
me to answer that one first?
Fine. And on Vickery, just an update on the rail options that you've been running. Have you got a preferred option now? And thirdly, on price realisation, just continuing the narrative from the December quarter conference call that we had last month, just how we should be thinking about the realisation of both thermal coal and also semi-soft prices this quarter and perhaps for this half, or particularly this quarter given the prices are out there, for regarding the outlook for this half as well.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks, Peter. Look, we haven't given any guidance out into 18, and I don't plan on doing that. Certainly, 56 we think is a good place to be, particularly as we continue to wash harder than we have done in the past. So I think it's probably more prudent to wait another 6 months until you see the full year round out. The run rate of or proportion of semi out of Maules in particular, we'll have a better line of sight of that and the overall cost impact that brings, given that it is such a material component of our overall business. We have guided previously, as you know, that Narrabri's face widening project would deliver in the order of $3 to $4 per tonne down. So again, looking at the size of that, that's, you know, essentially 40% of our business around in those numbers. You can use your calculator to get down to what you think the group benefit of that will be. Vickery Rail, yes, we do have a preferred option there. So we have landed on what we believe is the best option for us, and we're busily documenting and negotiating with the various parties to secure that corridor. So that's very positive. Very pleased to be able to say that has landed at a preferred option. We still have two other options as well to use just up our sleeve, but we certainly have move forward positively with our preferred option. So that's a key breakthrough that will see us land on this EIS by 30 June, as I mentioned. Price realisations, I think this next few months will be interesting, just of course because of what I mentioned to Clark there before, and you all were well aware of the divergence between the spot market versus the last quarterly settlements. And so we'll bring a tail of those prices, the better prices, into this period in the same way that we brought a tail of, you know, the lower prices into the first half. So where we have contracts signed up for the semi at the 170 number, then you get that. So that will bring that in. But obviously spot sales, because we're bringing incremental tonnes to the market, are going out the 100, 105 type, 106 number, I think, that we've seen more recently. As far as thermal goes, I mean, thermal has less of a lag to it. The premiums for Maules are doing about 10%, which is really good. The low CV stuff is diminishing as a proportion of our total book, as you know, but even those ones at the moment are around the $60, $62 type level. So that is positive. So I expect the realisations to closely approximate, if not a little better, the average for GC Nuke for the period.
Thank you. And your next question comes from Philip Chippendale, Wilsons.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for the question, Tom. Look, two questions from me. First of all, just on Maules Creek, can you just give us a sense of the timing around the potential increase from 13 million tonnes to 15 million tonnes? And can you just give us a sense of how much capital would be required for that increase? Or is it more just a case of leasing more equipment? So that's sort of the first question.
Yeah, well, I'll try and give you some guidance in terms of timing, and it's not going to be particularly clear because a lot of it's out of my hands. It's with the government. But and then Jamie might make some commentary about additional equipment for that step up in scale. Nirvana would say that the time that it took to get Narrabri's approval from 8 to 11, you know, that was surprisingly quick. That was 4 months of processing with the government. Well, Maules Creek, given the history of Maules Creek, I think we've got to allow a little bit more time on top of that. So I think in order to achieve that, the nice thing to be able to do would be able to bring that on seamlessly straight after we reach the 13 million tonne rate. So that's still call that another year and a half away, a little bit longer, 20 months, say. In terms of equipment, Jamie?
Yeah, essentially to go from the currently approved 13 to a figure of 15 or 16 would simply just be one more fleet. So if you look at what we're planning at the moment, the 10.5 to 13, that's another large 800-ton excavator and associated trucks. If it would be simply a similar fleet to that for the next expansion.
Okay, thanks. And just second question, you've made a comment in the results announcement about the net debt improving another 105 mil since 31 December. Can you just give us a sense of how much of that is related to working capital adjustments rather than, a pure cash flow generation? And I'm saying that because the receivables balance obviously jumped up quite a bit over the last 6 months, and I'm just curious as to whether that 105 is largely a function of, a reversal of that, or is that sort of a comment that's been made in the context of working capital being broadly flat?
Philip, Kevin here. We did have a lift in receivables. I think we had about 200,000 more tonnes in receivables at the end of the year than we had in the prior period. So we went from about 600 to about 800. But most of that increase in there was price. Now, if price stays where it is, you're going to expect to see that stay in working capital, but it'll normalise over time, the working capital movement. And because the payment terms for that growth is generally, less than 10 days from going across the side of a boat, you'd sit there and say it turns over pretty quickly. So what you saw was a very strong stem in December, a very strong stem in January, and that manifested itself in the receivables of cash. We probably had our biggest receivables of cash in January in our history. And all the stem is just we shipped something like 2.1 million tonnes at the managed level in December and January. So, look, I'd think, as Paul said, we finished today, that number's just a tad less than 500 million. That trajectory should continue. Certainly within calendar year 17, the debt would be pretty much gone off the balance sheet. It's really now a question of working out and working through with our board where we land on capital management going forward, which we'll bring you up to speed with as we work through that in this next, 3, 4, 5 months when we get to the end of the year.
Okay, thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan, JP Morgan.
Thanks a lot, guys. Just back to Vickery, can you give us a sense of what the cash costs might be there?
Linda, we haven't given any guidance on Vickery yet, but I think you could probably do some arithmetic there, and I'll give you some simple numbers really just to help you out. The cost outcomes will give guidance as we get closer to decisions, firmer decisions around timing and so on. But if you consider that, Maules Creek at 6.4-1 strip ratio versus a Vickery at 10-1 strip ratio, you've got another 3.5 BCMs to move per ton. And if you're thinking about what does that cost per ton, then I think you should be thinking, say, $4 to $4.50 in that order of magnitude as being the differential there. Everything else largely will be the same. It won't be the costs. It won't be the same costs as Tarawonga, and we've guided before where that sort of level sits. It won't be the cost of that because obviously it's got the benefit of scale. It'll be on the rail. It'll be in a modern CHPP, so it'll be Maules Creek type processing costs. Which will bring down substantially the average cost of production. So the key difference is really just that extra overburden that's got to be moved per tonne of product. The benefit, obviously, on the average selling price side is that Vickery quality will be better than Maules. So the thermal, I think you could probably say, is probably just as good. The better side of it is actually the met coal side, which is much stronger than what we've seen in the Maules quality. So I think the average selling price there will be better. The proportions, we think, are about 60 met, 40 thermal. So that'll give you some high-level assumptions to work with for your modelling.
So when you say the met coal will be better quality, what sort of premium should we be thinking about relative to, say, the met coal price that you're receiving at the moment?
I think just to be safe, just use the semi-soft price.
Right.
We can talk about premiums at a later date.
All right, that was pretty much I had on Vickery. Just with the carried forward tax losses, can you maybe give us an update on where that's sitting?
Hello. Sorry, Kevin again. Look, there's no surprises that the result and the forecast you've got see is chewing up quite a considerable amount of the tax losses in the current year. I wouldn't expect to see us return to tax payable, probably not in fiscal year 18, but certainly I think calendar year 19 or even early 20 might be about the time frame you should start to look at it. We've got a few unbooked tax losses that haven't been booked. We'll look at those at June and see where they come in. But we should be in better shape then with 9 months of solid pricing behind us and a forward look to be able to talk a little bit better about that at June.
So I think the figure previously was something like 356 million of or 357 of carried forward losses that we can use in our modelling. How does that number look today or at the end of December?
Yeah, no, Lynn, and if you go back to the financial statements at 30 June, in the tax note in there, you'll see that the total losses that we talked about there are about 1.2 billion off the top of my head. So, and on top of that, there's a couple of, there's some unbooked tax losses on top of that are also disclosed. So run those numbers and see where you finish up, and we'll get to June with a better understanding of where that cash is going to come in. But it's a pleasure to be talking about that today, given pricing and the results out of the business, rather than recovery of the tax losses.
So just to be clear, that's 1.2 billion of earnings you can have before you pay tax. It was my understanding. I'm working with the actual tax amount that's sort of running off a schedule, if you like.
It's 1.2 billion of taxable income that's going to get consumed by the carry forward tax losses and timing differences before you start paying cash taxes.
Yeah. Okay. So well, maybe we can take it offline. Thanks a lot for that.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Amber McKinnon, UBS.
Hi, Paul and team. Thanks very much for the call. Most of my questions have already been answered, but just one thing with regards to the Vickery update that you provided. Thank you for that. For us, the CapEx number was a little bit above what we had previously estimated for the project. Has that number changed compared to your prior estimates, firstly? If yes, could you potentially explain why? And could you also give us some indication of the scope of the project relevant, at the component level, high-level components compared to Moores Creek? How does the CapEx compare given it's a similar project in a lot of ways? How are those two projects similar in terms at the CapEx level? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Amber. It's certainly a little bit more than where we've what we've guided in the past, but the key differential there, I think, that you've got to factor in there is the inclusion of the processing and handling capacity for Tarawonga, and that's the key differential, I suppose. We haven't explicitly called out in the past that we've now incorporated into those numbers. The rail alignment itself is less onerous in the sense that we're not travelling through some rolling hills, as you know, we had to with Moores, but it is as long as that connection, given the alignment that's necessary there to make sure that we manage floodplain exposure and all sorts of things in there. So, but you need to remind yourself that this project is the scale of Moores. It is a project, in output slightly less, of course, because of it is deeper and therefore more materials moved and handled. It's of that order of magnitude, so it's still less than that. The numbers that we put out there obviously have gone through the necessary reviews of conservative, if you like, because we need to make sure that we deliver a project in the most capital efficient manner we can. So that includes all the contingencies and things that you would otherwise expect people to incorporate into a capital spend. But it is the same size as a Maules Creek type project, so I think you've got to think in that context of it. And then we're also embedding in that, obviously, the ability to handle Tarrawonga, which actually makes it bigger again.
And so just in terms of comparing to cost base or for things a few years ago, are there any particular components that you've noticed the cost estimates have increased for, or are you not quite at that stage yet?
No, nothing that we would have said is materially different from where we were in the past. Those numbers that we think that we could build the various components are not dissimilar from what we've done in the past.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Paul.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Clark Wilkins, Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, just to follow up, with that sort of capacity on the rail cut of Tarrawonga, what sort of impact does that have on the cost structure there?
Clark, as a general comparison, we think there's quite a substantial saving of moving to rail haulage rather than road haulage. The two things I've noted there which affect cost materially and to the good as far as the expanded project goes is there's obviously a new facility on the ground for Vickery. So that would be Maules Creek type processing. You know, if you look at our wash cost, handling cost down at Gunnedah, call it $6 for around it for the sake of the argument, you know, Maules Creek costs are early $2. And, you know, when it's running full tilt, slightly less than $2. So there's a saving, substantial saving there in terms of the per tonne basis. Road haulage down to Gunnedah out of Tarrawonga is in the same order, in fact, between $6 and $7. The equivalent to get across to the same point on the rail from an OPEX perspective is, call it $1.50. So there are quite material savings that can be brought to Tarrawonga and improve its lot in life by incremental capital into Vickery. Obviously, the two sites would obviously be paying for that capex, not just Vickery itself.
Yeah, and then was it always envisioned that Tarrawonga would be on the rail and through the wash plant? So is that part of the reason why the capex cost has increased? Further to Amber's sort of question.
No, I wouldn't say it was always contemplated. No, I think that's the benefit that we brought to it later on in reviewing the situation, looking at the individual sites themselves, looking at the Gunnedah prep plant operation and what happens to it as a result of Rocklin coming to a close, less volume obviously going through there, what do the economics of that look like once that happens. So all those things we brought to our thinking in terms of what we've now packaged up as being, you know, a hub, if you like, there at Vickery that's going to process Tarrawonga as well.
Great, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Again, press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speakers today. Please continue.
Well, thank you, everyone, for dialing in, making the time for the webcast today. Apologies once again for the clunky IP situation. Not sure what was going on there. But, of course, you know where we are. So if there are any further follow-up questions that we can help you with, please contact us. And I look forward to seeing you and talking to you over the next few weeks as we make our visits around investors and the market. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.